My guy.
What's going on?
Not much, man. Long time no talk.
Yeah, I know it.
Life happens. Life happens.
Yeah, life does happen. That's for sure. Wow. Well, this Dynamite was a shocker to everybody.
Yeah. But we got a lot of news, too, that's been a lot of shocking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why don't you lay some of that news on us?
Oh, my God. Where to start? It's almost like AEW is almost or even more interesting outside the ring than they are in the ring. It's been pretty crazy. So before last week's Dynamite, they had a mandatory talent meeting. And it was Tony Khan, Sanjay Dutt, Tony Schiavone, Chris Jericho, The Bucks, Kenny. Pretty much Tony Khan saying, you know, trying to get everybody kind of like, he was trying to pep everybody up and get everybody, you know, excited again about AEW. And kind of went over how he can't really talk to everybody all the time. So that's why he kind of put in this new structure with other people like Tony Schiavone and Sanjay Dutt and the Bucks and Omega, where they can like talk to them and they can run stuff through Tony. Like, he's going to try to talk to people when he can, but he's such a busy guy and this roster is so huge.
Right.
They had to make these changes. Another thing, he kind of, some of the big things he told talent was they sent a letter to WWE, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, Nick Khan, about the tampering with employees, and I'll get into that in a minute. He also, one of the big things that he said was, as long as he's alive and around, that there'll never be another monopoly in the pro wrestling world, that he, you know, he's not going anywhere. As long as he's alive and kicking, they'll still be there. And then kind of Tony Schiavone talked about how, you know, they don't want this to turn into WCW, late WCW, and how it collapsed. And then kind of Kenny and the Bucks said their door is always open. They can come talk to them whenever they want. And then one big thing, Meltzer reported that Time Warner Discovery had said that they want the language toned down. And that's not really true. It came from Tony Khan. He kind of said maybe not everybody needs to cuss all the time. Maybe we need to tone it down. And that's that. So some people came out of the meeting happy. Some not so much. With the tampering, supposedly when it was first reported, it was just one AEW employee, but apparently it was a bunch of AEW employees. Chris Jericho teased that it was him, but one talent that actually asked for the release and denied was Malakai Black, who asked for...
I read about that.
Yeah, he asked for his release, citing not only was he not happy with the way things were going on television, but his mental health, and that he wanted to take some time away from wrestling. He also had the really bad back not too long ago. Tony Khan denied it, and apparently now things are smoothed over, and you know, Malakai Black is booked for the pay-per-view, so hopefully everything there is all right, because he signed like a 5-year deal, so he still has like 4 more years left on a deal. And some surprising news
about him.
Yeah, I hope everything's all right. Mental health's nothing to talk about, you know, that's a serious issue, so I hope. You know, you got to think about like him and Andrade and some of the other ones. When they jumped, you know, they didn't know Vince was going to be leaving. And their wives are on WWE. And, you know, even though AEW only works like one night a week, two nights a week, you know, WWE does a different schedule. So I'm sure that has to be hard. I think that was one of the reasons Adam Cole came over, so he could be with, you know, Britt Baker and his friends and things like that. So I'm sure that's tough. And hopefully, you know, he gets everything taken care of and he's all right.
Yeah, definitely.
From all accounts, he seems like a great dude, so hopefully he got everything taken care of. Eddie Kingston was suspended for 2 weeks. The suspension is up. He's actually going to be on the pre-show facing
he's going to be on the show?
Yeah, he's going to be on the pre-show with that Tanahashi Ishii, that big dude that fought with Suzuki and stuff at New Japan.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to fight on the pre-show. And people were like, what? I thought he was supposed to fight Sammy. So here's what happened. So, while Sammy and Tay were getting married, Kingston cut the promo about him getting married and how, you know, he has a contract signed for All Out. They're going to wrestle, blah, blah. When Tay and Sammy got back, they did an angle on Rampage, which was recorded. But he called Eddie Kingston a fat piece of shit, which I saw the video and I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit. So,
I did read about that. That was low as shit.
Well, apparently, because even at the promo after Sammy said that, Eddie was like, body shaming, huh? That's real cool or whatever. So he gets in the back. And Eddie Kingston, you know Eddie Kingston, he has a temper. He started going off. He tried to pie face him. He tried to punch him. Things were said. They got broke apart. Eddie came out and said it was his fault to leave. Because I guess people started giving Sammy some crap. They both spoke to Fightful. Gave, like, kind of their story or whatever. Kingston basically just saying, I'm wrong. Leave Sammy alone. Sammy kind of came out and said, hey, you know, I've done angles with a bunch of big names. And we always talk about things we can't and cannot say. And that was never said with me and Eddie. He said, I obviously wouldn't body shame him. People do that. They're stupid. He said, I was just trying to be a heel to get people pissed off at me and for people to see Eddie Kingston beat my ass and be happy. So apparently they have moved on. They have agreed to, you know, work together, but apparently they're not going to wrestle each other anytime soon.
Dang it. That would have been a match. Yeah, it would have been a great money maker.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, them two. I mean, just Kingston get in the way. Oh, would have been great. God, what else? The tampering. Like I said, Jericho said they came to him. The Punk stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Oh my God, I'm trying to think what else. The last 2 weeks, the ratings. Oh, Will Washington, who works for Fightful, also did. He got an interview with one of the. Somebody that works within Time Warner Discovery and said they're very happy with AEW. I guess there was a big rumor. I had not heard this rumor, but there was a rumor that Dynamite was going to be cut to an hour. This person tells Will Washington, no, that's not going to be the case. They're happy with them. They have a long time left in their contract. They did a great job with the Discovery, the Shark Week, and the House of Dragons. And all is good with them and Tony Khan. So hopefully that leads to a new contract. They got to get that ROH show. The ROH show is such a big thing.
Yeah.
Because Tony Khan did a media call yesterday, and somebody asked him, what are you going to do about Rampage? Because Rampage's ratings are just... I mean, we can all say it's Friday night, but when the first few episodes, when you had the Omega Christian Cage match, the CM Punk Rampage, you know, they were doing over 1 million. Or close to it. Now it's down like the 400,000s. He said with all the injuries that happened, I mean, and they did have a lot, that he had to put a lot of the top talent on Dynamite to keep that rating up. And now that everybody's coming back, he's going to start booking more main event style matches on Rampage. So hopefully that works.
I hope that comes through. Definitely. Rampage needs a shot in the arm.
Well, I think one thing that hurts it, and I always hated it when WWE did it back in the day, is when they tape Rampage. And I know it's cost efficient because they're already there, but there's so big a difference between a live Rampage, which I'm going to, you know, the new live Rampage comes on in an hour, a live Rampage and a tape Rampage. It's just different. It just is. I mean, even if you know the spoilers, you still, you know, it's a whole different ballgame when you see something live rather than you see something that's recorded.
That's true.
One release that happened that was, well, not really, it was a release. It was a non-renewal. Bobby Fish is gone from AEW. So I guess he only signed a 1-year deal, which is really weird in wrestling. Like, usually it's a 3-year deal.
That shocked me. This one shocked me.
Well, because everybody wanted if there wasn't injuries, the Trios tournament match would have been the Elite versus the Undisputed Elite. You know what I mean? It would have been the Undisputed Era versus the Elite for the six man. Obviously, injuries played a role in that. Kyle O'Reilly still, I guess, a ways away from being back. But apparently, Adam Cole's going to be back. I expect to see him at All Out. He might even be the Joker in the casino ladder match. So apparently, he's, you know, cleared, ready to go. So that's pretty cool. The AEW
that's video interesting. Game. That's way interesting.
Well, I think what was said was that at first what I was told was that, you know, he's just gone. Like, he made a bunch of comments, like, about CM Punk dogging him, how, like, he's talking about his kicks or something. I don't know. I didn't even read the whole. I was like, this guy's stupid. And then he started his own podcast, and he took some indie bookings, and then he he's doing like a wrestling seminar, and like, I guess didn't tell Tony and them or anything, just started doing this stuff. So I guess he saw the writing on the wall. Apparently there's talks that maybe he'll come back. I don't know. I would sign him just to come back to do the Elite versus the Undisputed Era one time. But,
you know, yeah.
Roger Strong isn't very happy in WWE with his wife being in AEW and his buddies being in AEW. I don't know how long his contract is, but if you get Roger Strong, you can still do the match.
That's true.
So, the AEW video game, they were at the Nordic, I forget what it's called. It's some video game festival in somewhere in Europe. They had a booth where people could play the game. They actually had their first match overseas. Evil Uno and Colt Cabana fought a couple people or something. They had like a little, they had an AEW ring set up and people got to watch them have a match. And it actually won best fighting game at that, where it's where everybody goes and like shows their new video games that are coming up and stuff like that. It won the best sports fighting game. So that's pretty cool. That's some good good news for waiting for the video game.
That's really good news. I have high hopes for that game.
I do too. It looks like No Mercy. It looks like the old N64 game. It looks so cool. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking about the video game, some really big news came out. Apparently, FTR is going to be left off the game. They apparently like filmed stuff for it, and got their body scans and this and that, and then they got pulled. Apparently, this happened a few months ago. They were told the story is just now coming out. FTR said they at first they were mad, but then they were told why. And apparently they're going to come out later, like in a DLC pack or something like that, where you can like buy an add-on to the game. So apparently they're all right with it. But at first they were said to be pretty upset about it. So,
yeah, I was kind of about it when I read it. I was like, what?
What, you're going to have
FTR out?
You're going to have Cody Rhodes in the game, but you're not going to have FTR.
Yeah.
You're going to have Brody Lee. You're going to have Owen Hart. You're not going to have FTR. I mean, okay. I don't know. A little confused about that. They sold out in Canada, like in record time. People are wondering why they didn't book a bigger venue. So hopefully they go back. I think that's about it. I got for news right now, unless I think it's something when we talk about it, but just a lot of people are, I don't know if I want to say frustrated, but what I'm hearing is that something big's going to happen at the pay-per-view. I don't know what. A lot of people are hitting the MJF. I don't know. A lot of people are saying they think he'll be the Joker. I don't, because he just doesn't fit the ladder match. They announced the people that are going to be in it. And he just doesn't seem like somebody that'll be. That doesn't work to his style. I think you're either going to get Adam Cole or maybe a Jeff Hardy returning. Not that I know anything, but I'm just saying somebody like that I think will be there. I think MJF helps Punk win and he turns heel, but that would be cool. But
that's what I've been thinking the whole time, and maybe getting a reform of Pinnacle.
Maybe they call it something. I don't know how you have a heel Punk and a heel Moxley with a face FTR and a face Wardlow, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But apparently, what I've been hearing is something big is going to happen. That's a pair for you, and I have to order it, so that's why I ordered it. And that Dynamite, something big is going to happen on Dynamite. So we'll see. Usually when I hear things like that, something big does happen, so we'll see. But
I trust in the process. I trust in Tony Khan in this situation.
I do and I don't, but
He does have a lot of explaining with this episode.
Well, not only this episode, but because he talked about it during the media scrum, he said the reason that the late build for the pay-per-view was like, we just got like a bunch of matches announced like on Dynamite, but he said with all the injuries, they didn't know when people were coming back, they're gonna be ready. Okay, I get that. We're gonna talk about the main event match, don't worry. Like, me and you about fought, and I guess if we would have been watching the show together, we probably would have fought. But we're better now. I'm still confused on that, but we'll get to that when we get there. But he said, because there was a debut this week. I know you haven't watched, but there was a big debut this week, which really just surprised the hell out of me. And he said at the media call that after All Out this week, the AEW roster will be the best healthiest and best roster that it's had in a long time. So we'll see.
That's big. I don't know. I'm kind of trusting in it.
Yeah, you won't really like the debut that happened this week, because I know you haven't watched it yet, so I won't spoil it for you. You won't really like it because we've talked about it before, but I thought it was a pretty big signing. So, and one last thing. They, on the conference call, they asked if they ever thought that a forbidden door could happen between WWE and AEW. And he said not after the way he thought. At first, he thought there may be, but now he said since the way they've been treating him since the tampering and things like that. Because Triple H did an interview today. Or it was either today or yesterday with Ariel Helwani for BET Sports in the UK. And he asked about AEW, and he said, well, I think everything worked. He said our competition is everything. And he goes, yeah, they beat our developmental system. Good for them. But I don't really pay attention to what they're doing. Do I watch it every week? No. Do I know what they're kind of doing? Yeah, kind of. But he kind of like blew them off as nothing, and which I thought was hilarious because – when AEW first came out, NXT was not a developmental brand. It was their third brand. And they wanted to beat AEW, and they couldn't. And then now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you beat our developmental brand. So I thought that was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that's kind of like the rationale that gets out there whenever that point's made.
Yeah, but... All right, Dynamite, baby.
Well, yeah. Well, allow everybody to be introduced to Unscripted Violence, me, Stagger Lee, and J-Dub, Jason.
Yes, sir.
And we have quite a Dynamite.
I hated it.
To start off, we have Chris Jericho coming out. He gets in the ring on the mic. He calls out Garcia. What I liked is the crowd was chanting, "You're a wrestler."
Yeah,
this whole awesome. Time.
Yeah.
Joe talks about the actions with Garcia last week when he spun Jericho around and slapped his hand out of his face. And Jericho tells Garcia that he wants an apology. Garcia tells Jericho he knew how special it was to him. He knew how special it was for him to share the ring with Bryan Danielson's hero. And when Bryan extended his hand out of respect that Garcia didn't, if he was a pro wrestler or sports entertainer, Chris Jericho ruined. Jericho says he's sorry Garcia feels that way, that there will be more moments like that because he's the best technical sports entertainer in the world.
I love it when he calls him that.
That was close.
Then
Jericho wants to hear him say that he's a sports entertainer. Jericho tells Garcia to say he's a sports entertainer over and over. Then Bryan Danielson's music hits, and out he comes. He says to Daniel that he sees his mentor is trying to bully him and that he's a sports entertainer. And Garcia can be what he wants, and last week and agrees with the fans that Garcia is a wrestler. Garcia screams at Garcia, telling him to say that he's a sports entertainer. Garcia says he's not going to make that decision right now and to leave him alone. Garcia goes to walk away. Then Jericho grabs his arm and Garcia go down. Danielson starts laughing at this. Danielson says that he's no fan of sports entertainment, but entertaining.
You know, it was good. Like, Jericho on the mic is just so good. He's just so golden. But the part I didn't really like about it was, like, Garcia acting like a 15-year-old schoolgirl or something. Like, I don't think his acting was very well. Like, no, you're not going to make me choose. Like, it was almost like a... I heard people online were calling it like the Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio match when they were fighting for custody of Dom. It's like custody of Daniel Garcia match, which I thought was funny.
That's very really cool similar.
It's really cool what they're setting up with this match. I know you haven't watched this week, and this really isn't a spoiler, but next week in Daniel Garcia's hometown of Buffalo, it's him versus Wheeler Yuta for the Pure ROH Championship. So... that'll be a banger. It was great on the pay-per-view. Is it gonna be a banger? Is he gonna bleed with Yuta? Is he gonna become a member of the BBC? It made a lot of questions, because what's gonna happen? I think this part of the show was great for the pay-per-view, because it kind of set up the Danielson Jericho match, because I pretty much thought Danielson was gonna win, but now I'm like, does Jericho cheat? And then Garcia kind of goes to Danielson, and then they have the match. I don't know, but it was a good segment. I think it went a little too long, but it was a good segment.
Yeah, like I got a whole other like page basically of just material that they threw at each other. It was a long segment, but I liked the way that things were said.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great on the mic, so I mean it's. I mean, I don't think we have to go into detail what they said. They pretty much just made jabs at each other. We're going to get the Lionheart Jericho. I still think Danielson goes over. I don't know if we're still going to make picks again, like we talked about the show, but my pick would be Danielson.
At the end of the confrontation, he tells him to watch his back.
Yeah.
Hager, Mauls, which I thought was a good touch.
Yeah, which set up their match this week on Dynamite.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Next after that, we had Dax Harwood versus Jay Lethal. And we're just on fire during this match, if you ask me.
Oh, amazing. It was...
They had that chop battle in the corner. Dax's chops are echoing in the place.
Well, Dax is my wrestler of the year right now, so I mean, just everything he does is golden.
Oh yeah, this was a great wrestling match, just as expected. The match had a ton of near falls in it.
Yeah,
and it ends in a roll up reversal. It was Lethal with a handful of tights for the win, which I have always thought that is the cheesiest way to end it. There is no way you're going to get that much leverage out of tights.
Well, and Dax is so much bigger than him. Like, he's not going to hold him down by holding his fucking tights. I think that's one of the cheapest endings in wrestling on how to end a match. And I thought the wrong guy won. I guess that means FTR and them are going to win at the pay-per-view, but I think they got to stop putting Dax in singles matches just to have him lose when he looks so much better than the other guy. I mean, Lethal looked good, but I thought Dax was just so much better.
Oh, yeah. Dax clearly ruled the match. Sanjay Dutt gets on the mic. He tells Dax he had never told him who was on their team for the Trios match. It will be Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabian and Alex Shelley, which I happen to think that is a much better pairing than what they had envisioned for it.
Yeah, I like what they did here. I'm pretty sure this says that Satnam Singh ain't ready yet to wrestle. I don't need Sanjay Dutt wrestling. I've seen that before in TNA, and he's better as a manager. It's a way to... They did a little vignette that showed him a little bit, which I liked. Now the people can go and Google and see who they are. I think what you're just doing is bringing in a team from TNA or Impact to take the fall. They're going to lose probably. One of them two are going to get pinned. And they get some exposure. Hopefully maybe later down the line we'll get the Motor City Machine Guns and the Young Bucks. That'd be cool. And it added a little something to the pay-per-view, because I know me and you both were not looking forward to Wardlow FTR versus Satnam Singh, Sanjay Dutt, and Jay Lethal. We just were not looking forward to that match at all. Now I'm looking forward to this match. And there's a lot of trios matches on this card, but it's because you're introducing a trios championship, and you're going to make the trios division look strong with this kind of match and some of the other, the House of Black and, you know,
and then they're bringing it to the forefront of everything.
Yeah.
Which I like.
They're highlighting it. Yeah, they're highlighting it on this pay-per-view, which makes sense since you're introducing a title.
Yeah, definitely. We got Tony Schiavone backstage with Thunder Rosa. And Rosa explains that she can no longer defend the title because of an injury. And she appears appears real upset about this.
This is some of the news we forgot to talk about, remember? Apparently there was a report that, and I never did get to finalize this report. I forgot. You told me who said it. I forget. But apparently Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker hate each other, which is a real life thing. And this has been known for a long time. But they continue to work with each other. But apparently in a match not too long ago, Thunder Rosa broke Jamie Hayter's nose. And she went and hid in the back for a while before.
I remember that match clearly. That was like the Clash of Champions, I think.
Yeah. And I guess afterwards, Thunder Rosa ran into the bathroom and was hiding from Jamie Hayter. And there was a lot of beef. And then some people thought maybe, because Thunder Rosa apparently has been called hard to work with, hard to deal with, things of that nature. That was the whole sandbag thing that Britt Baker and Rebel were doing. And some people thought maybe that this was her not wanting to wrestle and do the job and things of that nature. Apparently, she really is hurt. It's a back injury. She didn't get cleared, so that's why they're doing the interim match. A lot of people were pissed off that when CM Punk had to give up his title because he was injured, or like that he was going away for a little bit. You know, he got like a 10-minute segment on Rampage to talk about it, and Thunder Rosa got a backstage thing. They found out like 2 hours before the show went on air that she wasn't going to be able to wrestle, so like they already had the script written. They made time for her to say this. Apparently, Tony Storm was going to go over and beat Thunder Rosa for the belt. So, I don't know if they're still going to do the same thing at the pay-per-view. I'm kind of leaning towards Jamie Hayter turning on Britt Baker. And, I don't know, maybe that happening.
I think that would be the most interesting choice.
I feel bad for Tony Storm if her title's getting taken away, though. So, is Tony going to stay with the safe bet that it's been leaked now that Tony Storm was going to win? Or do we see a Jamie Hayter upset? I don't know. It should be interesting. But I feel bad for Thunder Rosa. I hope the reports about her are not true. Hopefully we'll see her back sooner than later. But
yeah. After that decision and how she did tell Tony Storm that she hopes that her dreams come true, she's gonna come back and be stronger in the end, and she had a good positive spin to it.
Yeah.
After that, we get Colton Gunn with Austin Gunn versus Billy Gunn and with Mac Master and Anthony Bowens.
Scissor me, daddy ass. Scissor me.
They did it again. It's funny. Stokely Hathaway, was he, now correct me if I'm confused, was he at ringside to start off with?
No, he came down, and it was really weird because like 2 weeks ago when I did the heel turn, he gave them his business card, and then he came out during the match. Billy Gunn was about to win, and then he hit Max Caster with a radio, and one of the other guns took out Anthony Bowens, and then that allowed for the for Colton to do the low blow, and then the whatever his finisher is called, I forget, to get the win. And then he gave him business cards again. So I'm like, why is he giving him business cards again? I was confused.
Okay.
He's forming a really weird stable.
Dial you back, man.
All right.
There you go. That's exactly right here.
There you go. So what were you saying?
I was saying he's creating a really weird stable.
Yeah, he is.
Like, you have the Gun Club, you have Lee Moriarty, you have...
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of Bobby the Brain's family.
I was going to say that. I was going to say Bobby Heenan. Yeah, it kind of does. And the debut this week, he gave a card to him too. So it's like you got the Gun Club as a tag team. You got Ethan Page as a wrestler. You got Lee Moriarty as the technician. Now you got some muscle with the new guy that he got. So I'm not going to spoil it for you. And then, but where are you going to go from here? I'm a little confused. I don't know. It's very interesting. I'm sure Billy Gunn loved doing this, though. He got to put over his son.
Yeah. Cool.
And then, you know, he got the scissor Bowens afterwards. It's now a t-shirt on shopaew.com. Scissor me, daddy. I'm going to be buying that shirt.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a t-shirt.
I'll have to look for it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I feel like... I'm like getting my dynamites mixed up, so I'm sorry if I fucking.
That's all right. I'm sorry if I do too, guys.
If I ruin anything for you, but did Swerve and Our Glory come out after this match, or is that this week?
Let's see. I'm trying to get to the Swerve Through Our Glory did come out.
Okay.
And they cleared. They basically cleared.
And they announced the tag team title match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they did that. So after that, backstage, Tony Schiavone with Pac, the Lucha Brothers, and Will Ospreay, and Aussie Open. And they just have quick words with each other in this. There's not much that needs to be said. They hate each other, and they demonstrated that.
Yeah, just a way to show people who don't know who, just in case they didn't watch Forbidden Door or any of the Dynamites beforehand, like who Will Ospreay and them are, just to kind of heat people up for what would be the main event.
Yeah, and then we have Britt Baker, DMD, versus Kylan King. I thought it was good to see King back on Dynamite for his second week, bro.
Yeah, they worked on the Cleveland Pittsburgh angle, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, they did that. Definitely, they had their uniforms on and the big flag and everything. So they really worked it, and a quick match. That ends with Britt putting on the lockjaw. And after the match, he calls out Toni Storm. And out she comes from behind Toni is Jamie Hayter. And she... knocks her out.
Yeah, they messed her up. They put a beating on her. And then Sheeta come out, right?
Yeah, and Sheeta came out. And then they did their best to clear the ring. Which I thought was effective.
Yeah, well, the crowd like didn't react to Sheeta at all. It was kind of weird.
I am not thrilled about Sheeta anymore. I might have been thrilled maybe a quarter of the way through her first run. And then it was just too much.
It's Omega's girl. That's hilarious. It doesn't make any sense for her to be in this match. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
He's been gone forever. If you were going to have a match, it should have just been a triple threat with Toni Storm, Britt Baker, and Jamie Hayter. And then you have Jamie Hayter either turn on Britt by winning or by losing, by hitting Britt Baker on accident somehow, and Toni Storm knocks out Jamie Hayter, and then she gets the pin where that causes some friction, or Toni Storm's doing something to Britt Baker, and she accidentally hits Britt Baker, and then does a move to Toni Storm, and then wins the belt, and then says, like, hey, I'm the champion, you're not, blah, blah. Why have Sheeta in there? It makes no sense whatsoever.
And how they just announced it, it was real, like, fast. You're like, well, now it's going to be Storm Hater, Baker, and Sheeta for the interim championship.
Yeah, and that's why I kept telling you, like, I don't know if I'm going to buy this pay-per-view or not, just for the fact that I know that it's going to be a great pay-per-view. There's some banger matches that are going to be on here, but it just was thrown. It just seems like it was thrown together by just, I don't, usually you can see the plan from Tony Khan. Like, you can see, like, okay, this has been happening for a while. It's going to be on pay-per-view. And I know injuries have come into effect with Thunder Rosa and things of that nature, but it's just the buildup to this All Out, I think, in the 3 years of them doing pay-per-view has been the worst buildup in the history of buildups. And I know you had Danielson hurt for a while, and they were planning on doing him and Jericho, and you had to wait for him to get back. And the Punk thing we're about to get into in a minute, we can disagree about that. But then, like, you don't have FTR versus the Bucks. You have them in a trios match with Kenny and Hangman, and then, like, just all these matches thrown together. And, like, Swerve and Our Glory, like, they're not fighting FTR, who's been the number one tag team for 22 straight weeks and still haven't got a title shot yet. But they're in a three-way with the TNT champion, where the TNT championship's not being defended on pay-per-view again, against a team from TNA. And Jay, it's just, it's, I know the matches are going to be great. I know that. I know it's going to, I'm going to get my money's worth. But it was just, like, this was WWE. We'd be criticizing it so hard, I think. And it's just like, I know Tony deserves a pass every once in a while, but I hope he acknowledged that this was a rushed build, and he said he doesn't want to ever do this again like this, and I hope he doesn't. But it just seems like this card is just some of the matches don't make sense.
Yeah. Something's not working right with me.
And I hope after, like, I was told, like, after this pay-per-view and after Dynamite, things are going to start showing, because summertime is usually the hardest time to get ratings, because people are outside doing stuff and, you know, this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Usually your ratings are better in the fall and stuff like that. But I don't, it just seemed like Tony was praying some of these people were going to come back, and then he had, like, a bunch of backup plans. But it was just, I don't know. And we're going to talk about it when we talk about the, I think, the next match. But just, I'm very, I know he's a good booker, and I know he's young and he's new at this, but it's just, wow.
Yeah, it threw, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that threw me off.
You're breaking. There you go.
Yeah, what happened just threw me off. I just.
Are you talking about the next match?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll just get it, like, so, here's the thing that upset me. I know I'm a punk mark, and I'm probably taking things too, I don't know, personal or too whatever, but, like, the announcers, like, first you're having this match at 9 o'clock, which I know we don't talk about ratings on here, but, like, when this match started, they were, like, at a 1.2, 1.3 million people. People wanted to see this match because they were like, holy shit, we're getting this on TV. So,
I was actually, like, pretty proud of them.
Well, like I said, it started at 1.3 and it ended at a million. But anyway, you know, Moxley comes out and then Punk comes out, and the announcers kept saying, we know we have two main events. This one, I think they said it like three or four times. Like, this match can go 60 minutes. Punk's a 60-minute man. This could be a long match. TBS has said we could stay with this as long as we want, and we'll still show the trio match. And they kept saying it, and I knew something was going to happen. I didn't expect this. So, I'm not upset that Moxley won, because I know that behind the scenes, he hated so much that it was called an interim title. He wanted it to be, like, co-champions or whatever. So I know he hated it. I know he pitched this idea, and Punk eventually said okay, because I'm pretty sure he's getting the belt back and All Out. But my deal is, so they start wrestling, and then Punk throws a kick, and he sells the other foot. So what I was told was he kicked Moxley with his good foot, but he put so much pressure on his plant foot that that's why it hurt so bad. So
that's what I thought. And I thought he twisted it, he strained it.
And people said that really happened. Like, people, like, said that that's a real, like, they did it right. A lot of people like me just jumped to the conclusion of, like, what the fuck? Like, he fucking kicked with that foot. He's holding the other. You know, I thought he was trying to do a pro wrestling thing, which I come out find out later that that grew. Okay, anyway. So he does that, and they act like people are going to come to his attention and stuff like that. And then he gets up all wobbly, and Moxley hits his two fucking moves, and then, bam, 2 minutes and 59 seconds later, we have a new champion. Now, like I said, and me and you kind of were arguing about this, because you're a Mox guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. And yeah. I like Moxley. He's a Cincinnati guy. I live here in Cincinnati. Like I said, I don't care that he won. I just don't understand. And I'm going to try to let the story breathe, but, like, why could they have gone 20 minutes and then that's how the ending happened? I did not understand the 3 minutes. Now, they tried to explain it a little bit more on this Dynamite. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm still not happy with it, but, like, I get that, because some people said you can't have a 30-minute match every minute, every time on AEW. Like, it gets predictable. Okay. So they were going for a shock value and B, a ratings thing. I get it. I mean, I really do get it. So, if Punk doesn't turn, like, if he beats Moxley clean, I'm going to be pissed. Because what the fuck was the story? Why did we do the match on TV? Why? Now you have
to. It has more value with him being heel than anything.
Well, it's just, how are you going to tell me his foot? And he tried to, like I said, he tried to make up for it on this side of mine. You'll see it when you finally watch it. But so he was so hurt 10 days ago that he could not wrestle and he got pinned in 3 minutes. But now he's going to win. So, like, when I saw this happen, like, I actually stopped watching Dynamite. I paused it. I went outside. And you were trying to tell me what was going on next with the Starks promo and stuff. And I just wasn't watching it because I was just, I was shocked a little bit. I didn't understand why we could have done this in 10 minutes, why we had to do it in 3 minutes. I was just so, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't even think a story they could tell me at the pay-per-view, unless they go like 45 minutes because they were teasing that on this week's Dynamite. Then maybe, like, I can understand, like, hey, he lost what happened and now he got it back or whatever. But I don't know, man. But I also, some people were saying, like, they're trying to build up the lineage of the title. So, like, you have Jericho, Moxley, Omega, Hangman, Punk. Now you have Moxley again, then you have Punk again. You kind of start building that title a little bit. Okay, I get that too.
Yeah.
I just don't get why a squash, why it had to be a, like, I was sitting there, like, I'm so glad I almost traveled to Cleveland for this event. I'm so glad I didn't because I would have walked out. You know what I mean?
I know a lot of people associated it with the finger poke of doom.
Right, and that's what it was to me.
And it didn't. I don't know. Is that taking it too far?
See, it all depends. And I said to you, I think I messaged you and I said, I guarantee the ratings will be down next week. And they were a little bit. They were still over 1 million this week. It was down, like, I forget how. I think last week they did a 1.04, 1.05, and this week they did like a 1.01, something like that. But, like, it just, you had so many people turning in to watch this, and then as soon as this happened, people left. Like, I think the main event got like 800,000 viewers, because I didn't even watch it. I had to go back and rewatch this. After this match happened, I quit watching. I was done. Even if Punk did it to Mox, like, if it was reversed, I still would be like, what are we doing? Because, like, it was still being reported by Meltzer that Punk and Mox are going to be the match it all out.
Well, yeah.
But why? Well, I just, I don't know. I don't know. Unless it's to build Mox as a great champion, then okay, fine. What do you do with Punk? If MJF is not back, because everybody keeps talking about MJF. If MJF isn't back, do you have Mox retain somehow after a good long match and then Punk just loses it and goes crazy and turns heel? Do you have Punk turn heel and win?
Is Punk can turn heel.
But the hard thing is going to be turning Punk heel in Chicago. Remember, WWE did this with Stone Cold Steve Austin when they tried to turn, he was the hottest babyface, And at WrestleMania 17, they tried to turn him heel in Houston with The Rock, and people just weren't buying it. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to let it play out. I'm going to see what happens. I've been told, let it play out. I think this was the first time since the exploding barbed wire match that I have been disappointed in AEW, I guess. It's kind of like how your kids disappoint you. Like, it just really hurts. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I've been all week, they've been hyping up this match. It's the biggest match in AEW history. And I think that's why people point it to the finger dome or finger point of doom, because WCW was doing the same thing. They're like, oh, the biggest match ever. Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan. You know, Hulk Hogan was going to run for president. Now he's coming back. And this is the biggest heavyweight title match ever. And then, you know, boink, finger point, Nash loses. It's just, it was, I don't know. It's, but I was deflated after this. And I actually had to go back and rewatch the ending of Dynamite. But
it was a bizarre ending. I was trying to make sense out of it. I can say that positive that came out of it was AEW was being talked about wherever you went.
Well, and we argued about that too, about good publicity about, and I'm not going to get back into that because I like it when we're friendly and we talk nice to each other. But like in the rest of the world, sometimes bad publicity though is you're trying to sell a pay-per-view, right? Like last year, every pay-per-view every year, so every All Out has done better the year before, you know what I mean? Like the next year, every Full Gear has done better. They're going up against 210,000 views because this was the first match of CM Punk at All Out last year. So they're going up against a high number. I don't see how a squash match and then a rematch is going to sell people on this pay-per-view. I thought there was better ways they could go about it. Of course, Mox pitched this because why wouldn't he? Hey, I get a title wearing. I get to beat Punk in 3 minutes. I get to make him look bad. I don't know if it's trying to beat down Punk to build him back up. I don't know. We're going to see at the pay-per-view. Punk's going to be my pick. FYI, he would have been my pick anyway. I just don't know why we had to do the match then. Because they were doing the pull apart was great. The promo was great. You didn't need this. You just didn't need it. And you didn't deliver the match that you promised your fans. And that's one thing Tony Khan. And Tony Khan has kind of admitted this. He did a media scrum and he was like, I listen to the fans. He said, but just give me some time. We're trying to work on some things. And I'll give him, like I said, the benefit of the doubt. But
I'm sure to him it looked good on paper, and how it played out, and realized a few things.
Yeah. And you know, this is a growing company. It's only 3 years old. Sometimes I got to remember that as well. And you know, he's probably listening to Mox and Punk, and Punk finally okayed it. I guess at first he was a little apprehensive about it, but then he said okay. Again, it was, I don't know, but I went outside. I tuned this off. Like, I just stopped watching. I didn't even watch the rest of Dynamite. I know me and you still talked a little bit about it. I went back. I'm glad I did go back because the main event was awesome, but this is one thing in AEW that I would like to forget. But then again, I'm happy for Mox. He's a two-time champion. He's the first one. Congrats, but just to lose it back, I don't know. I'm done talking about it. We'll see at the pay-per-view, but
where it goes.
It was a head scratcher. But my thing is, here, I want to ask you this question. Does it do, let's say that, okay, this happened, and then at the pay-per-view, Punk wins. Doesn't that do damage to Moxley? So can people look at him and be like, well, how did you beat him in 3 minutes here, but then you lose to him 30 minutes here?
Yeah. Then it takes you to your limit. It shouldn't even be close.
Right. That's so, like, some people were criticizing me because I was tweeting about it and talking about it, and people were like, oh, you're just a punk over. No, I'm thinking about Mox, too, because Mox is one of your key players, too. Like, I don't know. I guess it gives them both a title reign. Congratulations. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. After the whole incident happened, the Punk is helped up the ramp. He's limping. Tony's backstage with Christian Cage, and Christian's arm is in a brace, and he gets a promo on Jungle Boy, just hyping their match at All Out. And it was just typical what you would expect out of Christian, not saying it was bad by any means. It was your classic heel promo.
Yeah, it's nothing to compare to what happened on this week on Dynamite. I'll just say that. This has been a year-long storyline. So, again, another long-term story from Tony Khan and company. I'm looking forward to the match now. I think Christian's going to go over, and I'll explain why when we go over our match predictions. But, yeah, it was effective, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Then after this, we have Ricky Stark. He comes out to the ring. He gets on the mic and cuts a promo on Powerhouse Hobbs. And
Star. Dude's a star.
Tears into him. I mean, he's emotional. He gets you to relate to him. He's got nowhere to go but up.
This match, though, this is another match that I kind of scratched my head at, because him and Hobbs both kind of need the win. So where do you go from here? I'm really intrigued and interested to see where they go with this match.
True. Because
Starks might be one of the top three promos in AEW. He can cut a fucking promo. But I don't know. Interesting to see where they go. I still don't know who I'm going to pick for this match later. I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, I can't say either way.
But it was a great promo. Very fiery.
Yeah, it worked. It worked.
But I think the crowd was kind of still just kind of shocked on what happened.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think he got the response that he wanted to. Like, some people were still cheering, but I still think people were like, what the fuck did I just watch? But anyway.
Then after that, we have a promo with Jon Moxley talking about the people who didn't expect to win, or that didn't, let's see.
That didn't go as planned.
Yeah, that wasn't the way the match went.
Yeah.
And he said that this time, Jon Moxley being, which I thought was a good play, but it says his time was right goddamn now.
Yeah, a lot of people after he hit this promo went on was like, oh my god, John Cena's coming. No, John Cena's not coming to AEW.
No, I don't think John Cena.
Yeah, a lot of stupid people thought that was what it was. It's not. FYI, John Cena ain't coming. But it was a good fiery promo. I mean, again, I just don't. Here's the thing. It was a great promo. He cut a great promo this week as well. I just. If Moxley doesn't win, what did all this mean? I am confused. Again. If Moxley's going to win, then it all makes sense. But I'm pretty sure Punk's going to win because it's Chicago, and I don't think you want to riot. I'm just saying.
I don't think Punk to turn heel in Chicago no matter what.
It's intriguing, that's for sure. What's going to happen? I'm going to be watching it because thank God I'm off Monday. I got a three-day weekend. Thank you, Lord. I had to fast forward a little bit through it because I was just like, I don't know. Anyway, it was funny because Moxley the next day, there's a local sports station, Cincy 360, and Moxley did an interview. And me and my buddy both listened to the sports show. And my lunch is from 12:30 to 1:30, and his is from 1:30 to 2:30. His is from 1 to 2. And the interview was at 1:45, okay? So everybody where I work at know that I'm a big AEW fan. I'm always wearing stuff, but I'm always talking about the matches and and stuff like that. So my buddy comes in and he goes, hey, who's this John Moxley guy? And I said, oh, he beat Punk last night. I was pretty disappointed. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, it's in 3 minutes. And he's the next WWE guy. He's now the champion. He's from Cincinnati. He goes, he sounded drunk. And I was like, no. I said, dude, he just got out of rehab. He's not drunk. Trust me. And he goes, he just sounded really weird. And I said, what? So he played me the interview. And then I was like, no, dude. Because Renee and his kid were in the car. They were driving back from Cleveland. And I was like, no, that's just Moxley. I was like, that's just how Moxley talks. And he was like, oh, okay. But a lot of people dogged the interview. I don't know if Moxley, he did sound tired. So he probably was just from driving from Cleveland to Cincinnati. But you know how Moxley gets when he's excited? He just starts fucking rambling.
Yeah, he starts going.
That's what.
I don't mind it. He never took offense to it or thought, oh, he's drunk.
Well, after he heard him and me heard him, he was like, okay, I know he's not drunk now, but it just, he didn't make a lot of sense. Like, he sounded fucking confused. It was crazy. So then I had to say, hey, go read his book and here's some info about him. But people in Cincinnati did not like the interview at all. It was really weird.
Wow, that I had no idea that happened like that.
Well, it was in Cincinnati. It was only
to apologize. I'm being distracted by kittens. I hell yeah, I had five of them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, five of them. Now they're starting to run around and get into shit.
Yeah.
So like, I'm trying to keep all instruments away from them.
we're almost done.
Yeah. Because next we had a video package on Kenny Omega, kind of hyping him up. Have the next match, which is a death triangle made of Pac, Rey Fénix, Penta El Zero Muerto, and Alex Abrantes. And we had Will Ospreay, Kyle. What is his name?
I forget off the top of my head. It's the House Empire, right?
Yeah, Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah.
That's who it is. And Mac Davis, the Aussie Open. And Fénix and Ospreay start with an amazing stalemate standoff with each other. I mean, it was...
Ospreay's so good.
Oh, this was a match that was too filled with great high spots that weren't cheesy.
Well, there was one. And I don't like it, but when Pac went up to the top, like, and did the backflip, like, he waited too long, like, he didn't even fucking look, and he just jumped. I thought it looked kind of weird, but other than that, it was just fucking amazing. These six fucking, I could have watched, I'm glad I went back and rewatched it. I couldn't watch it that night. I just couldn't. I wouldn't have been able to give it the credit it deserved. But
I had to watch it again too.
Yeah. And Ospreay's so young. Oh my god, and he's just so good. And it was great.
I loved it when Ospreay wrestled Nick Wayne, and how he said, "Oh man, you even look like me." You know.
Just wait till you watch this week's Dynamite. Oh my god, him and Omega and the Young Bucks. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, I can't wait.
It was very good.
Well, during the match, Pac thinks that Kip Sabian is a guy underneath the box. He comes up to him, and instead it's a guy with duct tape over his mouth. Yeah, and horrible black makeup.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you know anything about this Kip Sabian stuff with him wearing the box over his head?
I knew a slight what they showed every week.
Okay. I mean, I did. I just didn't know if people knew. And then, like, they paid off a year later. Like, the man literally got paid a year to just walk around wearing a box at AEW events. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
For a match, Pac for the All-In, I don't get it. But whatever.
Yeah. After that, Sabian comes out and attacks Pac from behind, and I have no clue as to what the fuck the ref's doing at this point.
He was playing.
It was just bad reffing, and it got back in the crowd, coming back at him. But the United Empire, they triple team Rey Fénix with an assisted Aus Cutter.
Yeah, it was amazing. The win,
which was them propping up said victim onto their shoulders, and then the Aus Cutter down on them. And I don't know, that stuck out the most in this entire match to me.
Yeah, great move. Great match. I could watch these six fight all day. After the match, Kenny Omega came out and cut a promo on Ospreay. They've been going back and forth at it for a while, so that was pretty cool. But
yeah, you had the lead on the ramp, and both teams were taunting each other.
Yeah, I know you're gonna ask me what I want to give this Dynamite, and I want to wait to give it a rating just because I want to see what happens at the pay-per-view. Because right now, if you really honestly, like after I watched this Dynamite, and if you were asking me in real time, I would have gave it a zero. Just because how I don't understand what's going on with that whole 3 minutes really just threw me off for the whole match. But the main event raises its up. I like some of the other stuff, so I really can't give it a rating right now. I want to be able to come back and give it a rating if that's possible.
That's very fair.
I think Ospreay was my wrestler of the night. He was just fucking amazing.
It's hard for me to get because I got so much emotion in it.
But I want to see what plays out, because if the story makes sense, then fine. I can admit when I was wrong. I was wrong. They did the squash makes sense now. I would give it a 4 or 5 because just the main event and this and some of the other stuff. But if it doesn't make sense, then I think they just did this for ratings, and they got the ratings. But I'm just confused on why they did it. So I want to wait.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It probably is best to wait it all out because there's so much that can play out.
So much.
According to everything that happened, it's real hard to even forage into that. Like, and there were so many changes that took place too.
I want to wait. Like I said, in the middle.
I want to say my wrestler tonight was Dax Harwood.
Yeah, I almost went Dax, but I thought maybe you were going to. So I didn't want us to pick the same one. He's a fucking star, bro. He's really good. So you wanna? Are we gonna do our bet? You wanna do these predictions real quick before we get out of here?
Okay, let's shoot.
You got
to remind me of the match, but
yeah, the pre-show. Like I said, it's Kingston and Ishii.
Kingston and Ishii. Wow. Because I'm thinking of the side of Kingston have a little bit of heat on him.
Right.
So he might take the loss on that.
Oh, so you're going to go Ishii. I'm going Kingston. And I heard this today on some podcast. I can't remember which one. But I think it would really be cool if Kingston wins this match. Or loses it for this matter. And he ends up being the Joker. Punk wins by a heelish move. And then Punk Kingston is the main event at Arthur Ashe. That would be fucking amazing. But I'm going to go Kingston. Then you also have Hook on the pre-show defending the FTW title against Angelo Parker from the JAS.
Yeah, of course it's going to be Hook.
Yeah, there's no question there. Let's see. Let's go with some of the matches I'm thinking about off the top of my head. So, FTR, Wardlow, Motor City Machine Guns, and Jay Lethal.
Oh, you got to go with the guys from Impact.
Oh, wow.
They just... I watched a lot of Impact back then.
We disagree. I'm going to go FTR and Wardlow.
I mean, wow, then, yeah, then you're playing on a lot too there. But yeah.
I just don't, unless you sign the Motor City Machine Guns and they're going to be there long term, I don't think you have somebody from another company come in and beat your tag team champions or your TNT champion who takes the pinfall. So that's why I'm going that way. Do you know who the people are in the ladder match?
No.
It's
they just mentioned that it was a 10-man. Was it 10-man?
No, it's it's Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, Rey Fénix, Penta, Rush, Andrade, and a Joker.
Ooh, the Joker intrigues me.
It's I'm gonna go Claudio just because I go Claudio with everything.
Claudio or Fénix?
Which one? You gotta pick one.
Fénix. I just pick Fénix.
Alright, Jericho and Danielson.
Oh, that's good too. That's a difficult one.
I'm gonna go Danielson.
Yeah, Danielson's gonna DCC.
And then you got Jade Cargill and Athena.
Cargill.
Yeah, me too. And then you got Storm, Hayter, Baker, Sheeta.
To be, I want Hayter.
My heart. Yeah.
That, oh man, it's either gonna be Baker or Sheeta.
Oh, you're picking one of them?
Yeah.
Which one?
That's hard. Baker.
I'm gonna go, my heart's telling me Hayter, but my mind is telling me Storm. So I'm gonna go Tony Storm on this one.
Storm has a strong possibility.
I think it's gonna be Storm. And then you have the Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory.
It's gonna be Swerve in Our Glory. Because I don't want to see that.
I want to see the Acclaimed, but I don't think their time is now yet. Just to steal from John Moxley, I'm going to go Swerve in Our Glory. You have also... what else is on this card? Jungle Boy Jack Perry and Christian.
I think Christian by way of Luchasaurus interfering.
That's my pick. And for the Trios title, you have the Elite versus either... God, I'm going to spoil this for you, but you kind of got to know it to make your pick, just to be fair. Tonight, in 7 minutes, it's going to be... God, do I spoil this for you or not?
No, you're all right.
Okay, it's going to be the Dark Order with Hangman Adam Page on their team now. Versus the Best Friends. The winner of that match faces the Elite at All Out.
Oh, it's not going to be the Best Friends.
No.
They just have a string of hard luck lately.
Yeah. So we're going to say the finals is the Dark Order with Hangman versus the Elite.
Yeah.
So who you picking?
The Elite.
I am so torn because I can see it going two ways. I can see it where Omega finally like watches the title match and sees that the Bucks didn't help him and then turns on the Bucks and then him and helps Hangman win. But I could also see Hangman turning on Dark Order and joining his friends. I'll pick the Elite just to be on the safe side too. What else we got? I'm trying to think what else we got. What else? Punk and Mox.
As much as I want Mox, it's gonna be Punk.
Yeah, I'm going Punk too.
He's the heel turn. It's coming.
Has to. Yeah,
But maybe because everybody wants that, it's not. I don't know.
Tony, though, is usually good at giving people what they want. So I think after the backlash of what happened at that match, I don't know. I see Punk winning. I know I'm a homer, but whatever. Who else? I'm trying to think. That might be it. It's really weird because it's a big weekend for wrestling. Like tomorrow at noon, at fucking noon, you got the Clash of the Castle. That's a WWE big pay-per-view. And it's really funny because...
Is that going to be on Peacock?
Yeah, it's going to be on Peacock at fucking noon my time, bro. I'm so excited.
My homie has Peacock. He said he might hook me up for that.
Yeah, the pre-show starts at noon and then the event starts at 1 o'clock. But here's what I wanted to like point out. Like, so you have the Clash of the Castle in front of like 60... They got... like 65,000 tickets distributed, and it's going to be at 1 o'clock, and they only have 6 matches. And then you look at All Out, and they have the next day they have like 14 matches. it's kind of crazy, but
that is nutty.
Our bet is if I win, you got to watch a match of my or a pay per view of my choosing. If you win, I got to watch a pay per view of your choosing. I just saw where they announced Mox is fighting Gage for the GCW title.
Not that one.
No, I'm saying that's getting ready to come up. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I guess the next time we record, we'll be talking about All Out.
Yeah. Definitely. So we have to... We have to know ultimately what's going on with all this mess.
Yeah, it's really weird. This is one of the weirder pay-per-views from Tony Khan. So, it was broke that Full Gear is going to be in November in New Jersey. So, yeah. That'll be the next one. But, once again, bro, it was good talking to you.
You too.
Are you working?
Let everybody know all your info.
Twitter, JBlunt23. Facebook, Jason Wayne Blunt Sr. I'm also one of the administrators on the Unscripted Violence Facebook page.
And same here on the Facebook page. It's Staggerly777 on Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Staggerly.
So the next time we talk, we'll know who the champ is, huh?
Yeah. You will.
Do you work Sunday?
Nope, I don't work Sunday.
All right. Well, you know, I got the hookup for you on the pay-per-view. So
I'm gonna get the girly to watch. I think she'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good show.
Yeah.
All right, my brother. Well, it was good. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
Oh yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Good night, bro.
Good night.